Hello all. Seems strange talking to you online and not being able to see you, but I hope you're all well. I spent a lot of time thinking over what I felt I was supposed to say for this talk, and it was only earlier in the week that my thoughts started coming together. I know our theme is exploring church, but I'm going to talk about a faith journey that I've been on for a long time, because I believe that it also has implications for church and how we walk alongside each other as Christians and encourage one another, as well as how we approach our mission as church. I was reading the introduction to the Book of Acts in the Passion Translation, and I'm going to paraphrase what it says. This inspired account of church history will awaken your soul with transforming power. Instead of being called the Acts of the Apostles, it would more accurately be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We see miracles in answers to prayers, including signs and wonders, and many deliverances. We learn much about the Spirit of God in Acts. Without him, there would be no church, no evangelistic impact, and no expression of the power of God. For it is not by human means, human power or human might, but by the limitless power of the Holy Spirit that God's realm advances on the earth. Jesus built his church through the Holy Spirit. The church of Jesus is a distinct community who are on a love mission by the one who loves the world with a fiery passion. For Luke, the church isn't merely a gathering or assembly, it's a movement, a spirit-fueled movement. We find on-fire disciples of Jesus at every turn. This to me sounds amazing and exciting. To be awakened with the transforming power and to be an on-fire disciple in a spirit-fueled movement. But I know my life doesn't reflect this at all. I desire it, but how do we get there? How do we live in a way that demonstrates God's kingdom like this? How do we experience this transforming power? Over the last several weeks, I've been reading a book called Ecclesia by Ed Silvoso, and there was something that struck me. He says, "The first century Ecclesia introduced a radical and revolutionary social agenda that launched a process that literally changed the world. With the subsequent institutionalisation of the church, however, what was a lifestyle that implemented Jesus' agenda became programmes of good deeds that fell short of transforming society." He goes on to say, "The social entrepreneurship of the New Testament ecclesia went far beyond redistributing material resources. It turned consumers into producers with unequalled effectiveness because of its power and authority in both the material and spiritual realms." This struck a chord with me. In my life and experience, and I don't always mean in church, I don't always see lasting transformation in myself or others. The transforming power that was experienced in Acts. We can meet material needs, which we should do, as it's clearly demonstrated in Acts, and I think churches as a whole do well at this, and this is a demonstration of the kingdom. I think of the frustrations we had when I worked in Namibia. There was extreme physical and spiritual need there, but meeting the material need was much easier. It was more obvious and easier to solve in a short time frame. But the spiritual need also needed addressing to stop the same negative cycles of life. How do we live in a place where we see the transformation of people's lives alongside meeting their immediate needs? God's will is on earth as it is in heaven, which is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This means that God wants heaven to be reflected on the earth we live in. It's not just something we have to wait for until we die, although obviously we will only see heaven in its glorious fullness at that point. So, what are the realities of heaven? Joy, peace, wisdom, health, wholeness, and all the other promises we read about in the Bible. These should be present in our homes, churches, businesses, and schools. The things that should not be free to operate are sickness, disease, spiritual bondage and sin, because they do not operate in heaven. Obviously, we live in a world where these things do operate, but our mission as Christians is to usher heaven into these situations. For a lot of years, I've been listening to and learning from a pastor called Bill Johnson, who leads a church in California that's having an amazing impact on its community and experiencing God doing incredible things. and this has really influenced my spiritual journey. We've also followed some of his teaching in our house group. One of the main themes of his teaching is the supernatural power of a transformed mind, which brings about a shift in thinking and brings transformation. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." When Bill talks about the importance of a renewed mind, he says that the only way to consistently do kingdom works is to view reality from God's perspective. The battle is the mind, and the mind is the essential tool in bringing kingdom reality to the problems and crises people face. It's not just that our thoughts are different, but our way of thinking is transformed because we think from a different reality, from heaven toward earth. That's the transformed perspective. Bill Johnson says that renewing the mind begins with repentance. Most of us think of repentance as being sorry and asking for forgiveness, but Bill describes it this way. Re means to go back, and pent is like a penthouse or the top floor of a building. So repent means to go back to God's perspective on reality. In that perspective, there is a renewal that affects our intellect, our emotions and every part of our lives. He goes on to say that having a renewed mind is not often an issue of whether or not someone's going to heaven, but of how much heaven he or she wants in his or her life right now. God wants us to see reality from his perspective, to learn to live from his world toward the visible world. But if you don't change the way you think, you'll never be able to apprehend the kingdom power that is available. Having a renewed mind causes us to live from an awareness of the resources that are available to us that are greater than the problem we face. For example, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has a consciousness of living from a realm of unlimited resources towards a problem. Faith dwells in a place where nothing is impossible. If or when we learn to renew our minds in this way, the implications are huge for how we view problems. We live from a place of abundance rather than lack. Bill recounts the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, which is shortly followed by the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples saw Jesus multiply the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but the next day, when there was a crowd of 5,000, they doubted how the people would be fed. They'd been involved in a miracle, but the next day they would question not the miracle, but the reality of the kingdom they were supposed to see. They were afraid of not having food the day after they multiplied it. And Jesus asked them, "Why do you reason that you have no bread?" Their reasoning had started from what they didn't have. Repentance goes to the root thought, the emotional attachment to a way of thought that is destructive. God's will is on earth as it is in heaven. And a transformed mind is part of ushering that in, as it lives from a different place. I'm merely at the start of exploring this journey of living with a transformed mind, and I've only given you a basic overview as there's so much more to this. But the implications as a follower of Jesus and as a church are huge. I'm definitely not living from that place presently and don't fully understand it, but I'm excited about where the journey may lead and about discovering more of the fullness of life that is talked about in John 10 when Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I hope I've managed to make this as coherent as possible and give you a flavour of my journey over the last few years. Could a renewed mind alongside the Holy Spirit be the key towards experiencing more of what the disciples experience in Acts? To come closer to that description that I read at the beginning? To experience transforming power in ourselves and others? A transformed mind transforms a person. A transformed person transforms a city. I pray that in this season of doing things differently, we can all find a renewed passion and purpose in our faith journey, and it will look slightly different for all of us. My journey won't look exactly like yours, but we can still encourage one another in our small groups and learn from one another as we move forwards, and walking alongside each other is a great way to do this. At the moment, church doesn't look like we've known it before, but I believe it's bringing about new perspectives and exciting opportunities to discover God's heart for his church. So be encouraged and share with each other what's on your heart. I'm going to finish with one more Bill Johnson quote to encourage us all this week. The renewed mind makes hope possible.